Brody Darren's my guest.
Man, we faded out with Bob Seger, and now we're coming back in with the elevator music. I need the Bob Seger. Bring the Seger back.
I'm sorry.
His hands. That's probably the most impressive thing to me.
Former Blue Jay Brody Darren's my guest, talking some Creighton hoops.
Getting the cheat sheet from my boy Nicholas Allen Bob on 1620. I'm guessing where Mac is pretty 50-50 with it because he's seen flashes from both.
Brody Darren, dropping knowledge.
He wants the three. Boom! Boom! Thomas has a lay through. Oh, my goodness!
Holy cow. The roof would have come off this place.
The bro dog. What's up, Brody? How are you?
I'm good, man. Coming off fresh dub. Always feel good. I'm not like that.
No doubt about it. Hey, before we get into the specifics of last night, I guess this is kind of getting into the specifics, but I got an email from a listener telling me that he was disappointed that I didn't ask Coach McDermott about his inbounds plays. So let's talk about it, because once again, that kind of reared its ugly head. What the heck, man? Like, it's kind of like, I don't think you need to make this more complicated than it needs to be. It's like, guys got to cut hard, get open, and you got to have someone that is good. I don't know. I mean, like, what the inbounding stuff and issues, what are you seeing?
I'm with you, man. Like, and you've seen it with multiple people who have been the inbounder or the recipient making mistakes along the way. I don't get it. I mean, it's not... To me, it's not the plays. It's just execution
yeah,
of the plays.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, I mean, you get people cutting and screening. You know, like, I mean, it's like one of those things, Coach McDermott's a horrible inbound coach. Like, what? That's not even like a thing. Like, I mean, it's guys got to cut hard, get open, and guys got to get the ball inbounds. Like, it's not, it's that. To me, there are sometimes certain things are on the coach. There's sometimes certain things are on the player. To me, like, get the ball in bounds. Like, that's the player to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And, you know, baseline out of bounds is one thing. It's kind of a special teams opportunity, right?
Yep,
like,
yep,
it's
yep.
kind of the equivalent of special teams. You can score and whatnot. But it's the same thing. I don't think Max drawing up terrible plays.
No. I mean,
and you know, making just bad decisions at the wrong time, i.e. throwing it, you know, into the backcourt towards your opponent's, you know, basket.
Yeah, right.
When you're up four late in the game, you know, with a lob pass on a closely guarded, it's just not a real bright move. You know what I mean?
Could you have imagined back in the day, like, you guys turn it over a couple times and they're trying to get inbound the ball, and you go to Coach Altman and go, Coach, man, you need to give us a better inbounds play. I think you would. Can't you see? I mean, I think you'd have, like, kicked us off the team. If I'd have gone to Coach Altman and said, Coach, I need, come on, man, you got to give us a better play than that, I would have been off the team instantaneously. It's like, it's on the players,
I didn't
man.
Any additional reason to get kicked out of practice. Like,
yeah, right,
doing
right.
Enough on my own. You know?
Right. Hey, did you ever get kicked out? Did you ever get the heave by Coach Altman?
Dan Altman never kicked me out of practice.
No, he did not kick
Kevin
me out.
Kevin O'Neill, when I was at Northwestern.
Oh, he gave you the heave-ho?
Yeah, KO, he gave me the heave-ho. He gave everybody the heave-ho, but yeah.
That's like a rite of passage.
Easily.
Yeah, okay. So
he gave his assistant coaches the heave-ho.
Oh, my God. Okay, there you go. So there you go. I mean, I think that the inbound stuff is all on the players. I mean, not to say there aren't certain things that Coach Mack maybe needs to get better at, but, like, I mean, get the ball, get open and throw the ball inbounds. Like, good Lord. So what it, you know, the last night wasn't the prettiest thing in the world, but, you know, like, at the NIT, I know it sounds crazy, like, there's a little nerves that for, like, because, you know, we lose, this is for sure it. I guess, how did all of last night kind of, how did it all look to you?
Yeah, I'm with you. Loyola's got, obviously, Porter's coming into town, playing the hometown, you know, the alma mater, going to have a chip on your shoulder. You know, to some degree, I made the comment watching the game last night. It was like, you know, to some degree, Porter's interviewing for a job here, not meaning anything, not alluding to anything immediate. But, you know, that always planting the seed that, hey, I've got a Creighton tie. If this job were to ever come open
right.
for whatever reason down the road, you know, I want to make an impression here. Plus, you know, anytime you're going to play your alma mater, you're going to have that chip on your shoulder anyhow. So he's going to get his guys fired up, have them ready to play. You're going into a big environment on the road. They've done this before. You know, Custer's playing up the road from his hometown. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that they were going to come in here and swing away. And they did. And heck, last time they played Creighton, they popped them, you know, in Loyola a couple of years ago.
Yep,
so
correct.
They had 0.00 things to fear and, you know, only things to come swing away. You know, I think part of what we saw last night was Loyola. And, you know, you and I played in the Valley. We know there's a lot of really good, well-coached teams that play hard and play beyond their level of talent. And that's kind of the formula for the Valley. And so, you know, you just kind of saw some of that coming out, I felt like, last night. And they're, you know, creating a little bit of the hangover as well from the fact that, hey, we're in the NIT. We kind of controlled our own destiny to some degree, going to maybe win a couple in New York City and failed to do it. So a little bit of that hangover. But, you know, the boys recovered from that. I like the fact that they, you know, obviously were able to close one out and play more basketball. It's always good, particularly for a young team like this.
Yeah.
Seeing it time and again, teams that have success in the NIT that are younger teams, it just kind of catapults them into the following season. So hopefully the Jays continue this role.
Brody Darren's my guest. Beyond just winning, because ultimately that's what this is all about. You know, you want to win, you want to gain confidence postseason, all that stuff. Is there anything? Is there an individual player you want to see rise up? An aspect of the game you want to see improve beyond just, you know, beating Memphis and then beating whoever and getting back to Madison Square Garden?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if we're going to see it this quickly, but Tyshawn Alexander still hasn't assumed the role of closer. I mean, nobody really has on this team. And, you know, I'd love to see that identity start to be formed on whoever the heck it's going to be. And Tyshawn's the one you kind of naturally go to with your leading scorer, the guy that can create his own opportunities. And you know, just haven't quite seen that yet. The assumption is you're going to have, you know, it's one at a time, but you're going to have, you know, continued close games against good basketball teams. So, you know, if I could write the future and see you have one thing, you know, develop and become clear, that would be it over the course of X number of games that the Jays continue to play here. That being said, you know, the additional reps, the practice, the time on the floor, the game reps, are healthy for everybody. You know, you saw even in the minutes distribution last night, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, or matchup oriented or not, but the starting five basically all had 30 plus minutes.
Yep.
Christian Bishop with 10, and you know, Connor and Caleb got their remaining minutes, which were both single digit amounts, which, you know, you would think that there's some element of planting seeds for the future is also involved there.
Right. I mean, how can one of the things that I want to see, and it's not going to get tightened up here in just, you know, a couple of games, but like moving forward, although Tyshawn Alexander and Mitch Ballack shoot a good percentage, I want them to be less streaky, where for good, like 40% 3-point shooters and efficient guys, they have far too many. You know, Ballack 0-for-4 from three last night, Tyshawn 2-for-8. Like we need to like Creighton needs to get to where they're tightening that up a little bit.
I'm with you. Obviously, Mitch has been streaky his whole career. He's like, you know, Toby Hegner was very much the same
way. Yeah.
And became a little bit more consistent, I feel like, as a senior. But, you know, Toby, like Mitch, was like he was either 0-for-5 or 4-for-5. And I'd love to see that in Mitch. You know, in Tyshawn, it seems to be at times just taking good shots. And frankly, I made the comment also last night with Tyshawn is like, I would like to see, kind of like we saw Marcus Foster better develop over the course of his career and late in his career, of starting his game inside out, like finding ways to get to the rim, get to the line. Tyshawn needs to shoot more free throws. He's athletic enough to get to the rim. I want to, you know, I'd love to see him finish around the rim more, at least get himself to the line more to get himself going, and not settle in as much for as many jumpers, and see that translate over, because, you know, Marcus Foster became deadly a senior. Not that he wasn't, you know, incredibly talented, but that senior year when he really, really became a force, it was a lot more inside out. And Tyshawn has all those capabilities.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. I feel like I don't mind the Memphis matchup whenever the game is Friday or Monday, just because they want to get up and down the floor and play fast, and I'll always invite that.
Yep, that'll make it fun, right? And you know, just be fun to be in the same building as Mr. Penny Hardaway.
Penny.
All for the nostalgia, baby. so, I mean, that's cool. I mean, it's cool that, you know, obviously you got in our own league with Ewing and Mullen doing what they're doing.
So cool.
Have Penny, at Memphis doing what he's doing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Brody Darren, former Blue Jay. All right, bro, dog. Hopefully we're talking about still some games that are going on for Creighton next week, my man.
Yeah, I hope so. It'll be good for him. And obviously keep rooting him on.
Thanks, Brody.
All right, we'll see you, Nick.
You got it. Brody Darren, former Blue Jay, joins us every Wednesday at this time. Yeah, it's a good point with Tyshawn. You know, like, there are far too many times his first shot of the game is like that one-pass contested transition three. It's like, go get a better one than that. And again, for two guys that shoot a good percentage, they just have too many nights where they're 2-for-8 and 0-for-5 or 1-for-6. Like, they need to try to, like, be a little bit more consistent in how they're arriving at that 40%. 402-951-1620. All right. Can email me, Nick at 1620thezone.com. Hit me on Twitter at Nick Baugh. Last open segment. I'm going to bang through some of my bracket when we come back. How about that? Game time.